بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is Mamdouh Muhammad greeting his audience by saying the best greeting in the world is the greeting of Ahlul Jannah, the people of paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic of tonight is something between the Quran and the Sunnah. It is a hadith by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a hadith Qudsi. It has the exact words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is not part of the Quran, and it had been narrated to us by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a hadith Qudsi that had been narrated by Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu. And in it, we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses his believers and addresses his worshippers. And that's why I prefer to call this hadith the hadith of Ya Ibadi. And the reason I say that is that it has 10 statements in it. And each statement starts with this phrase Ya Ibadi. So we can expect the word Ya Ibadi to occur 10 times before every statement. Ya Ibadi. Ya Ibadi, Ya Ibadi, O my worshippers, O my slaves. Let me, before explaining the Hadith Qudsi, let me talk about some qualities of Arabic language that are relevant to this in particular, this topic in particular. In Arabic, we have a grammatical feature that's called Idafa, which means addition. And this is in terms of putting two nouns beside each other. When you put one noun and you add to it another noun, these two nouns beside each other is called idafa. We added a noun to another noun. And this is something very important also in terms of meaning, not just in a structure, because when you put the two nouns together beside each other, you find the closeness between them. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in most of the verses in the Quran addresses the believers, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you those who believe. In other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this nominal addition or add idafa when he adds one name to another. One of the verses when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, when he said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَ. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the worshippers of the merciful, the worshippers of Allah. We notice here, the word worshippers is a noun, and الرَّحْمَان is another noun, and they come close to each other here without any barrier between them. A thing that would give the sense of closeness to Allah. When our names as ibad are added to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just beside it, just no barrier beside it, you feel that we are close to Almighty Allah. This is something amazing. And that's why, yes, the qualities of Arabic language are so high, and they fit the Quranic meanings, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected this language to be the carrier of the last message, the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because of its intrinsic qualities that can convey these beautiful meanings that's almost difficult, or if not impossible, to be carried by other languages. Let me say it in English, for example. If we try to put this meaning, Ibadur Rahman, in English, it will be either the worshippers of the merciful, and here we have the word of coming between worshippers and the merciful, Ar-Rahman. So there's something in between them. Or if we put it in another way, which is the merciful's worshippers, again, there's apostrophe S here between these two nouns, so there is still barrier. This is from the psychological viewpoint where you find this barrier, you don't find it in English. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, it sounds so beautiful, to the ears of those who understand Arabic. And here is a very important notice that really, whether we are Arabs or not Arabs, we need to work on our Arabic, because this gives us more insight and more understanding of such terms and such structures that we really need in understanding the Quran and the Hadith. Not only that, in Arabic, that we can put the two nouns beside each other, we can put the two nouns, which are two different words, and to form one word, which is something amazing. So we put the two words in one word, we combine them. As you know, that one quality of Arabic language, if you find one word, or you can cut it into pieces, you find it consists of two or three or sometimes more words. One of them is a subject, the other one is a verb, the third one is an object. All of them are combined in one word. And this is another quality of Arabic language, is the conciseness of Arabic. So, for example, when you say a statement in Arabic that has couple of words, it's impossible to translate these couple of words into couple of words in any other language. It should be much more than couple of words. We apply this in English, you apply this to Urdu, you apply this to any other language. The simplest example is the beginning of every chapter in the Quran when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. These are four words in Arabic. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In English, as you know, you would say, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. 11 words in English. In Arabic, it's four words. In English, it's 11 words. And that's why you find the Quranic text is concise. And that's why, no wonder, we find in the Quran, in many places, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. We definitely made the Quran easy to remember. Are there anyone to remember? It's no wonder when we hear this striking piece of information that there are approximately more than 9 million Muslims memorize the whole Quran from cover to cover. And we don't find any other book in the world, whether it's a so-called divine book or a human book, that is memorized totally. This applies only to the Quran. This is again one of the miracles of the Quran. So let me go back to the issue of Ya Ibadi and see. First, the Ya is the article that's used for addressing people, for calling people. And this is again a sign of a very nice etiquette of addressing people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, has the best example, is using Ya to call his worshippers and his slaves. And the word عِبَادِ consists of two elements here. The first element is a noun, and the second element is possessive noun, and the two elements are combined into one word, which is عِبَادِ. So in the first example, when I talked about عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, two words beside each other, and you feel very close. And in this word, they become just one word, and it gives you more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel that you are close to Allah, the Lord of the world, the Creator. The Lord of the world is not only the world of human beings, but the world of human beings and jinn and planets and galaxies and vegetation and everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this in the beginning of every statement, and it has a tremendous impact on the hearts of the believers. Every time we hear this word, we open up our hearts and we become more receptive to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. You know, this usually applies when you try to tame your child, and if he does something bad, and you try to use the best words that you can in order to make him become obedient and come back to listen to you. Oh my son, oh my beloved son, oh my honey, you use all the beautiful words that you can in order to let him listen to your advice because you love him. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this word, Ya Ibad, is an introduction for the statements that he said in this hadith, and it really had a great impact upon our hearts as Muslims. And this is again the beauty of knowing Arabic and knowing some linguistic input, because the difference between us in dealing with text is how much understanding do we have from any text. Now let me go back to the exact text of the hadith when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated the first one. Let me first read it in Arabic, so you will enjoy the beauty of Arabic and you feel the touchy words of this language, even if you don't understand Arabic. However, you will still have some kind of feeling on your heart if you're really a believer. And you would find how different it is even if you read the best song or the best poetry in Arabic or non-Arabic. But you will see the difference now. عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فيما يرويه عن ربه يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا يا عبادي كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم يا عبادي كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم يا عبادي إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على قلب أفجر رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر يا عبادي إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. The hadith ends here, and this hadith had been narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad. So it's an authentic hadith. Let me go back and explain these beautiful words of Almighty Allah. The first thing after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the worshippers and the believers and the slaves by saying, Ya Ibadi, he stated a wonderful statement. إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي I made oppression, I made injustice illegal upon myself. Who is talking? Almighty Allah, the Lord of the world. As He made oppression and injustice illegal on human beings, He made it upon Himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by default does not oppress anyone, does not treat any of His creatures unjustly. And that's why one of the names and one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Adil, the just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fair and the just. And this statement is so important in our world, because every human being, whether he is a Muslim or non-Muslim, he feels a type of oppression, or he feels that he is treated unjustly by someone else. Either by a spouse, by an employer, by an employee, by your neighbor, by your kids, by anyone in the world, we have such a feeling because we are human beings and we make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, we might do oppression intentionally or non-intentionally to others. And this is quite clear, for example, of what is happening nowadays. Again, it's Muslims where the media is focusing on to defame Muslims because of a single event that happened from someone, and the whole Muslims feel that they are treated unjustly and unfairly from the media and from many other people. So because we suffer from this in dunya, there's not a single place where you can get absolute justice in this dunya. But we will get it in the day of judgment because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just and the fair. And that's why the first statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established in this hadith, talking about himself and talking about justice, and nobody is going to be treated, or no creature is going to be treated unjustly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because it's such a crime when we oppress each other, when we insult and hurt our feelings and our emotions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He made it illegal upon Himself, He made it illegal upon human beings, and then He advised us and commanded us not to oppress each other and not to deal with each other unjustly. When we hear such a statement in the beginning of this hadith, we feel very comfortable because we are expecting, or we are anticipating, or we are waiting for that day where every human being will take the exact rights that were taken from him or from her in this dunya. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said again, Ya Ibadi, another impact, another comfort that's added to our hearts. كلكم ضال إلا من هديت. Each one of you, all of you, are astray, are deviant. All of you don't know the right path. All human beings, no exception, even messengers and prophets of Allah. All of you are deviant and need guidance, and I am the one who gives guidance. And this is very important. So guidance is not an issue in your hand. It's not something that you have control on it. You just seek guidance. You just look for guidance and look for the truth. But it's not given to you by yourself, but it is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of us would be a believer. Look at it. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the most important verse in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening of the book, you find this verse, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. We say it at least 17 times every day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to guide us. Whenever you have an option or a selection, an option to choose between two things or three things, you don't know what will happen. The only thing is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. After, of course, making research and making feasible study and asking and consulting the most experienced people in this world, you still need guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you ask Allah to guide you. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use this hadith, this dua, supplication, beautiful dua. اللهم اهدني اللهم اهدني اللهم اهدي قلبي. Oh Allah, guide my heart. Oh Allah, guide me. And this is the best human being on the earth. So guidance is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A valid question would pop up here, say that if guidance is in the hands of Allah, what can we do to get guidance? It's something that's not in our hands. Of course, this is a valid question. The answer comes at the end of the first statement. All of you are astray, except the ones whom I guided. So, ask me to guide you, and I will definitely guide you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that your only role in this dunya is what? To sincerely seek and request guidance from Allah. And if you ask Allah for guidance, He will definitely guide you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in many verses, one of them is, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهَدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive hard in our way, seeking for the truth and seeking for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely guide them. Now, you know that guidance, you can be guided if you are sincere and if you're really looking for the truth. Otherwise, we will never be guided. Don't think that we are guided because of our education. Don't think that we are guided because we are smart and we have high IQs. don't think that we are guided because we were born in a Muslim family. No. We are guided if we are sincerely asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, and He promised that He will guide us if we are sincere. And this is a very good advice for those people who work in da'wah. When you do your best, you try to convince people and to tell them about the truth. No. Know that it's not something in your hand. It's not something in the hand even of the Prophet. It's not in the hand of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to insist on his uncle to become a good Muslim and to convert Islam, and he failed. Because guidance is not in the hands of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can do is to seek guidance, to ask Allah to guide us, to guide him, to guide that person or the other one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who responds to this positively or negatively. Then the third statement in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi, kullukum ja'i'un illa man at'amtuhu. Fastat'imuni at'amkum. All of you are hungry. All of you are in lack and in shortage of sustenance. And this sustenance comes from, and this rizq comes from only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, so ask me to feed you, to give you rizq, and I will give you rizq. Don't think that the rizq comes because we are graduates of Rice University or Yale University or Harvard University or because we are doctors. No, we can be doctors and we can get sick on the following day and we lose our job. We get sustenance because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives this rizq to that person or the other one. And if we look across history, we find the most or the richest people in the world were not the most educated ones. Look at Qarun, for example, the one who owned all these treasures of gold and who got the ability to change metals into gold. He was not the most educated one. Look at Bill Gates. Nowadays, and you will find this $85 billion man, he did not get his master's degree or PhD degree. Even he quit it before getting the BA or BSc. He did not continue his studies at Harvard University, as you know. And he is the most richest person in the world nowadays. And this is not because he is educated. Many people have more education than him. All his professors have more education than him, but they are not richer than him. This is a lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives rizq to people. So ask me to give you rizq, and I will give you rizq. Of course, this does not negate at all that we should not study, and we should not learn, and we should not work, and we wait for the rizq to come to us. Of course, impossible. Look at the birds. Look at the birds every day, as the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that they get up early in the morning with hungry stomachs. They go and start looking for food, and they come back at the end of the day with full stomachs. All of them. Well, none of them is educated. None of them is rich. None of them has something even for the following day or the following week, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this sustenance when they depend upon Allah and they do their part, which is working and looking for food and looking for jobs and doing their part. And the other part is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can work, I can work 20 hours a day, and another one can work only 2 hours a day, and he might get more rizq than I get. Because it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We apply for the same job, and he gets the job, and I don't get the job. And after some time, I find myself getting another job with a better salary. Who makes all these decisions? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not us. The same thing applies to the following statement. Kullukum arin. All of you are naked. All of us were born naked from the wombs of our mother. But it's the cover and the clothes that were given to us, which is part of the rizq, is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we trust Allah fully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we do our part, Allah will give us sustenance. And here comes the item number five here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established this important fact that's relevant to parts of the aqeedah, the articles of faith that we Muslims have. إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. All of you sin night and day. So this is, you are created with this capacity to make sin. All of you err. Human beings make mistakes and make sin. You cannot avoid it. We are not angels. We do make mistakes. And this is a fact that every human being knows. But so the other part is that this is intrinsic quality of human being. What is the intrinsic quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. I forgive all sins. If people die on sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive them. Of course, if they make repentance, Allah, inshallah, forgives them. But even if they die on some of these sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Except only one sin. That is shirk. Associating someone with Almighty Allah. Because this is, you do it on purpose. And this is something you are insulting the creator of the whole universe. So one intrinsic quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He forgives sin. And we do sin. So what should we do? We should ask Allah to forgive us. فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِ. If we do this, if we seek and request forgiveness from Allah, He will forgive us. This is again shows these intrinsic quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of being merciful, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. These beautiful names that should be known about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should be trusted fully. So human being err, and Allah forgives. And if we ask Allah to forgive us, He would forgive us. No wonder Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah to forgive him more than 70 times or more than 10 times a day. And we should keep our hearts busy with this issue. Every moment that we have an opportunity to say Astaghfirullah, I seek forgiveness from Allah, we should use it and utilize it before we die and we miss this opportunity. So keep ourselves busy by doing this instead of keeping ourselves busy with these worldly life issues. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in item number six, Ya ibadi, innakum لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. This is a very important thing, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you my worshippers, O you my creatures, O you my slaves, you will never ever be able to reach a level that you will harm me or affect me, either positively or negatively. Whatever we do in this dunya does not affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is not in need of us. Because one intrinsic quality of Allah is As-Samad. The one who does not need any of His creatures, and all His creatures need Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this piece of information. What you're doing is not for me. What you're doing is for you, and you cannot harm me. You cannot do anything that would harm the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So establish this in your mind and believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Nobody can harm His creator, the only creator of this universe. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in another way to make it very clear in the hearts of those who believe in Allah. Those who do not, of course, they don't understand these issues. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi, لو أن أولكم, if the first of you, and the last of you, and the mankind of you, and the jinn of you, have the heart of the most pious person in the whole world, this will not increase or add anything in my kingdom or in my ownership. So whatever we do, even if we, all of us have the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if all those creatures are as good as the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will not add anything to the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This kingdom of Allah, mulk Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stands by itself. It doesn't need any of his creature. So in other words, whatever goodness we are doing in this life, it's not for Allah. The ibadah that we are doing is something that would benefit us. It doesn't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we worship him or not. Whether all of us deserve to be in paradise or not, this does not affect the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. So what we're doing, we're not doing a favor to Allah when we increase the number of the rak'ahs, when we increase the amount of money that we use in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not benefit Allah. It does benefit us ourselves. And vice versa. If, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if the first you and the last of you and the mankind of you and the jinn of you, if all the creatures who have free will to choose their path have the worst human heart, let's assume that it is the heart of the Pharaoh, Fir'aun. If all our hearts are like the heart of Fir'aun, that's full of kibr and arrogance and all these diseases in the heart, this would not delete or decrease anything in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we say, Subhanallah al-Azim, glory be to Almighty Allah. There is no one like him. And the more qualities we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you love him and the more you trust him. And after that, the more you are conscious of your acts and your deeds, and the more you will be able to avoid the prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to avoid. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is number 9, said, Ya ibadihi, لو أن أولكم, if the first of you, and the last of you, and the mankind of you, the human of you, and the jinn of you, stand in one place. We're talking about billions of creatures. The first of them, starting from the time of Adam, and the last of them, and until the time of the day of judgment. And the jinn, the same thing. If all those creatures stand in one place, and each one of them makes a request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this request, he responds to this request by giving whatever the human being or the jinn requested from him. Let me give some examples. One person is so ambitious that he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a house better than or bigger than the White House in paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him that. And of course it will be of gold and silver and will have rivers beneath it. Another person would say, Oh Allah, I want a garden in paradise as large as Houston. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him or her. Another greedy brother or sister would request from Allah to give him a place as large as the whole United States in paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him or her this. Another greedy jinn would request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a piece of garden in paradise or a palace in paradise as large as the whole earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would respond to him or her. So every one of those billions, human beings and billions of jinn, each one of them makes a request, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills this request and responds to this request. And after that, this, after answering all their requests, whatever they got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not affect the ownership and the kingdom of Allah as it is affected by when you put a needle, look at this simile, a very beautiful metaphor and simile here, as you put the needle, you know, the sewing needle that you use in sewing, very thin needle, very short, as you put it in the sea and you take it back, what does it take from the sea or from the ocean? It takes drops, only few drops, two or three or four drops of water. Not only that, these drops go back. In other words, the needle does not decrease the sea, the amount of the water in the sea when you put the needle in it and take it back. With all the response of the requests of human beings, this does not increase what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this does not decrease what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns in this universe. So you can see from this how generous and how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And at the same time, how huge and vast the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that not a single human being can imagine or can even think of. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated a wonderful statement, and it is at the end to remind us of that day that we are waiting for. Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum, uhsiha lakum. O my worshippers, O my creatures, it's your deeds, I count them for you. I have angels for each one of you who count your deeds. Count the good deeds and count the bad deeds. So, we are a group of deeds. And these deeds will be seen on the day of judgment in our books of deeds that will fly and it will fall in our hands. And we will see our deeds, whether they were good deeds or bad deeds. And if you find your book of deeds on the day of judgment is full of good deeds, and your good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, what should you do? Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't even thank yourself. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is the one who guided you to do this. Don't attribute this quality to yourself. Don't think that you are smart. No! It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided me to do this. And that's why this is the beauty when we start Surah Al-Fatiha by saying, Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Almighty Allah. We attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just do the act, but we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guided us to do this thing. And he said that if you find something else, and you see how gentle the words are, he said that if you see positive deeds, so thank Allah. And he didn't say if you see negative or bad deeds or evil deeds, he said that if you find something else, which means nothing except bad deeds, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these beautiful words to open up the hearts of the believers and the listeners in order to listen and obey. And again, this is an indirect lesson of making da'wah. When you invite people to the truth, you have to be as gentle as you can. And if you find something else, don't do anything. Just blame yourself. Don't blame anyone else. Just blame yourself because you are the one who did it. I'm sure all of you share with me that this is one of the most beautiful things that we heard in our life. Just simply, it's not just because the one who read it for you or explained it to you. It's just because these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is our creator and He knows best which words affect the hearts of human beings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the truth, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to firm our hearts on the truth, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us guidance to paradise. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So this is your brother in Islam, Mandur Nuruddin Muhammad.